What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday.
Excuse. You think the Streis brothers are here for nothing?
I'm so sorry because we did, you know, the Monday episode Sunday. I'm all verklempt. I'm all out of sorts. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Hope everyone's having an amazing hump day. Don't forget to hump someone you love.
Even if it's a Streis brother.
Especially if it's a Streis brother.
Especially. You guys, I hope we're coming through crystal clear today. Yes, there was an audio snafu yesterday, but you know what? It's not a mistake if you learn something.
100%.
We learned plenty.
So let's talk about it.
And now we have a checklist.
We were early yesterday. We were like, we had plans. We were like, we're going to get in so early. We finished. We felt good. Amerigo Vespucci. Grab my computer. I get the audio off of our system in a little micro card.
SD chip.
Thank you. Memory card, and I plug it into my computer, and it's like sounding a little weird because I'm not there. And I'm like, I probably wouldn't have even noticed if it was you, but thank God it was me because I noticed.
Trills.
And I'm like, wait, my
mic. Like, oh, Jackie being low again. She's so shy.
She's so quiet. Who cares? But then I was like, me? So I look down at our system and I see I'm mic number two. You're mic number one. I see mic number two wasn't on. So I audibly gasp and I look at it and Jackie, you say what? And you look at what I'm looking at and then you go. And that's really the end of the story.
So here's the question. Were you silent or were you silenced?
I definitely wasn't silent.
No, never you.
No, the thing is, you don't even have to ask that question because I'm never silent. If I'm silent, it's because I've been silenced. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we did what we could to salvage the audio from yesterday. It was fine. Of course, you know, everyone was upset. But again, I'm so flattered by like the influx of
right. You kind of like comments. Love when we have issues because it just shows you like how many people need you and how many people are listening. Because when things are good,
they're good.
We hear from less people. People are enjoying. 100%. No news is good news.
100%.
But if you want news, put out bad news.
100%. And boy, did we get bad news yesterday. And of course, like, you know, I hate when that happens, like for a million reasons.
Trust us, no one is more frustrated than us.
And if we could record an entire other episode, again, we would, but like it would be fraudulent. Like we'd be making the same joke, Amerigo Vespucci, Josh Groban.
Like, how did we even work Amerigo into the conversation? I don't know. He wouldn't have made it into take two.
Yeah. So like, this is just, we've done it before where we've recorded like 20 minutes and we realized someone's microphone wasn't on. So we start over, but you really just can't re-record the same whole episode. Like it's just,
if we didn't have a backup audio and the first audio was unusable, then we would have had to re-record.
Yeah.
But I think putting out like the take two watered down version would have been worse than the take one murky audio.
No, it's just like inauthentic and we're extremely authentic.
It's
like
crazy.
You smell that? It's our authenticity. So it is what it is. We have a checklist now. Like Jackie said, it's not a mistake if you learn something. And what we learned is like we need a routine, a checklist of everything we need to make sure we do when we're recording together and when we're recording separately so that video is taken care of, so that audio is taken care of. And now we have two checklists. They're pinned up on the wall. They're quite beautiful. And we ran through it today. And so let's hope, let's pray. Let's say, you know what? All together. Everyone close your eyes. Let's just all collectively pray and hope and dream and wish that the audio on today's episode is premium and crisp, that the video is so sharp you could see this pimple on my forehead, that the smell-o-vision is so good you could smell my breath. Amen.
You can smell Theo's infected food.
Yeah, it doesn't smell, does it?
No. But it looks like it does.
Yeah, no, for sure. But they said like his infection just kind of tinted the fur around his foot, and like it'll just grow out. It's not going to go away. It's just like the fur is, it's pink. Useless. We got to get rid of it. Yeah, it's very pleany.
It's very pleany. Understood. Well, we're so glad to be here today. And if you're looking for some more crystal clear audio, we dropped a Patreon episode yesterday doing what is always everyone's favorite thing that we do on Patreon. We do it every few months. We did a general Q&A where you can ask us any question in the Facebook group and we'll answer most of them. We actually had some really good combos yesterday.
Yes, and we got really good, like, unique, interesting questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it, except for the part where you probably, like, said unintentionally, like, the meanest thing you ever could have said to me and, like, really kind of dug in on my insecurities.
I didn't know I was doing any of those things. I thought I was giving you a compliment, as you know, some of the worst insults always are.
100%.
Because I would rather someone say something mean, like knowing that they were trying to be mean. It's like, oh, you were just trying to hurt my feelings.
Right, of course.
As opposed to like, that's your truth.
Right.
And it's my burden.
And so if you want to know what we're talking about, unfortunately we can't tell you. You just have to hear it for yourself at patreon.com/morningtoast.
Yeah.
So it's been a really fucking treacherous day for me because we had such a great evening, you and I. And Zach, all the boys on the couch. Well, Harry was asleep. We stayed up till late, like 11:30.
Late for me, yeah.
And we watched Tim Dillon's new comedy special. We were cackling. It's always very scary to watch someone who you like on the internet in real life on like stand-up because you never know how it's going to translate. It was wild. Honestly, it's, I've said this before on the podcast, but like the way that I like spend nights thinking about like maybe something that could be misconstrued on the podcast versus what Tim Dillon was saying in his comedy special on a real streaming service on Netflix. I'm like, what am I worried about? He used 3 slurs. I was like, shook.
Yeah.
So also, it's not to make Tim Dillon special about me, but I was very relieved.
It was so good.
It was really funny.
So funny. I'd never seen his comedy before because when he played in New York, I was pretty pregnant, so I couldn't go. And I was so bummed. And then when I saw he was recording a special, I was like, wherever it is, I'm going to watch it. If it's on his Patreon, you know, I'll get the Rothschild.
We support Patreon.
I'll get the Rothschild membership, like whatever it is. But it was on Netflix and it's called Tim Dillon, A Real Hero. And there were like some, we were bowled over.
The coal miner
moment, I haven't laughed that hard in a very long time.
And the Little Caesars moment for me was really special. It was really good. I mean, if you're not into like even remotely offensive comedy, you're not gonna like it, but it was fucking funny. Like really funny.
Really fucking funny. And it was the perfect length, I think. And I think for you
same.
Too.
48 minutes, I thought it was the perfect length. And I was just feeling good about the night. You know, you and I made popcorn.
We did. We put them in little containers that said popcorn.
We were so cute and like, you know, kind of like giving blogger, like.
But that's what happens when you move to the suburbs. Like, right. You become.
You have all the space for crap.
You become like a mommy blogger, suburban mom. And
who
that's
buys
really,
like tchotchkes.
That's what's happened to me, except I've had those popcorn things since like 3 apartments ago, but now I can finally use them because I can see where they are.
100%. And it was just a gorgeous evening.
Yeah.
Go to bed, 11:30, TikTok till 12. Fall asleep, wake up. Oh, I gotta pee. Wonder what time it is. Oh, I look over, it's 2:00. Go pee, get back in bed, and I'm awake, like, for the day. I'm like, there's no way. I'm flipping and flipping. At 3:30, I did eventually get on my phone, and, like, every 30 minutes, I would, like, watch, go to bed, try and sleep, watch, go and sleep. By about 5:00, I had given in to the fact that I was awake for the day, and honestly, I just couldn't get over it. Like, it's so stupid. But then my fate changed because I was on TikTok. And I saw this clip from an interview and I like didn't even know what the interview was about or who this person was, but the girl looked vaguely familiar. Have I told you this morning yet?
No, I watched your story, but I had no idea who you're talking about.
Okay, I'm about to blow your mind.
Can't wait.
So her name was Jordan Turpin and they were just telling this story, like this crazy story. And I'm like, you know what? Let me go find this full Diane Sawyer because they were like on TikTok, watch 5 minutes, part one. And then I had to go watch a million other videos. I'm like, let me just find the whole thing on YouTube. It was this hour-long Diane Sawyer interview sitting down with Jordan and Jennifer Turpin. And if you're like into, like, if you follow, like it's not true crime, but like if you just follow like crazy shit that happens, it's like a famous story and it's somewhat recent. I had never heard of it. But this girl, Jackie, she looked so familiar. So the story is crazy. Jordan is the younger sister of the two.
They're sisters. They're
sisters.
Married. Okay.
Oh no, they're not married. They're sisters. They're one of 13 siblings. And they lived in a house, like, condemned, like, feces, hoarders, disgust, in, like, 2 or 3 bedrooms filled with bunk beds with all the kids, ranging from, like, 10 to 30. all these kids who have literally never left their house. And when they do, it's like four times in their lifetime where their parents like literally force them to act normal. They were living in filth. They never bathed. They were never went to school. They had such limited vocabulary. Their parents chained them up, beat them, abused them, like the worst fucking thing you can think of. And after a while, Jordan gets access to a cell phone. And eventually she's the one who climbs out of a window in the middle of the night because the parents tell them, we're moving to Oklahoma tomorrow. Jordan's like, none of us are going to survive. They're so malnourished. They're not going to survive a trip to Oklahoma. Jordan's like, tonight's the night. She jumps out of a window with the cell phone, runs down the block and calls a cop. And of course they have all the 911 operator recordings. And you hear her and it sounds like a teenage runaway. She's like, I ran away from home. She doesn't know. She watched a little TV, and I'm going to get into that in a minute because that's the part I think you'll find interesting. She had such limited vocabulary. So she has to wait 14 minutes for the cops. They're living in California. They did live in Texas for a little while. The parents left them for 3 years in a trailer and would literally drop off food for them, like not even enough groceries. They would ration it. And they would make the older siblings put the younger siblings in cages. And the older sibling, Jennifer, was like, that was the worst part. Because if I didn't do it, like they would kill me. Like they were like, they would literally kill me.
Where were the parents going when they would
come on to Ving, doing whatever they want, party, going to Vegas.
And I feel sick.
No, totally. But they were also like really religious, like Episcopalian. It was so confusing. Okay, just wait. Jordan runs out. She gets to the corner. She's on with the lady. The lady's like 14 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, 14 minutes. Like, okay. The cop pulls up and we have the body cam footage. And they actually have the cop on the Diane Sawyer thing. And then it gets reunited with the girl. It was really cute. But he's like, you know, I took this call because it was the end of my shift. And teenage runaways are always like, you just got to bring the kid back to the parents. And it's a great way to end your shift. It's not like a high stress situation. And he's like, that's what I'm thinking this whole time. And she sounded kind of weird. They have like accents. They've literally never been a part of civilization. And she doesn't know like so many of the words. He was like, are you on medication? She's like, what's that? He's like, pills. She's like, no, sometimes we get Robitussin, like if we have a cough. And then he was like, are you injured? She's like, what's that? He's like, are you hurt? She's like, not right now, no. And thank God he was suspicious because it was weird. Thank God this random iPhone she managed to get, she snapped a couple pics before she left, like in case anyone needed proof, because one of the other sisters one time saw an episode of Cops and they needed proof. That's how they knew what proof was. Like that's how they were learning things. My God. So crazy. She had a picture, two of her younger sisters, and that's why they really needed to get out. Two of the younger sisters had been in chains for weeks, only let out to go to the bathroom. Even sometimes not even let out to go to the bathroom. Thank God she took this picture. This cop saw the picture of these two malnourished kids locked up in chains in this disgusting, filthy, filthy fucking house. And then he was like, oh my God. So the whole ordeal from the time that she leaves to the time that the cops get there, it's about 2 hours. She stays with the police officer, but she keeps saying, she's like, if my parents figure out that I left, like we're fucked. 2 hours later, they go in for a wellness check, even though nobody called in on a wellness check. Like they have enough proof. These two fucking forlorn, disgusting, satanic fucks walk out of the house and are like, what's going on? And they're like, we got a wellness check. You have kids in here? And they're like, yeah, you got to let us in. It's okay. So they go in and it's disgusting. But she says to them, you know, we're moving tomorrow, so just don't mind the filth. And I guess like being disgusting isn't a crime. It is an unsafe environment for children, but so far they haven't seen the chains. The chains is what they're looking for. But I guess when the parents were being weird outside, they were telling the other kids, get rid of the chains, get rid of the chains, get rid of the chains. So they go into the two bedrooms and there's really skinny kids in disgusting conditions, but again, not like that thing they needed. They needed the chains. So they're talking to the dad. Then this cop realizes he's standing in front of a bunch of moving boxes. The moving boxes are covering another door. In the door is another room for the other kids. And there's one kid locked up in chains. And then once it's all out there, another one of the kids is like, yeah, all the chains are in the closet. They just made us throw them in there. And that was like the thing they needed. They pled guilty within 4 days, whatever. The story gets even crazier, okay? And I'm sorry if you guys know the story and you're familiar with it, but I got a lot of messages.
Any of this.
Okay. So wait, it gets crazier. When she starts explaining like the context of how she knew things, like what gave her, Jordan is the one who ran and Jennifer was like her accomplice and Jennifer was the older one. Like Jennifer went to school for 3 years, until the third grade because she's an older kid. But then they stopped sending their kids to school and had a bunch of other kids. So she had like a small context of how life was not supposed to be like this, but some of the kids were born into it. But she knew it was bad. So Jennifer got this phone and she loves to sing. And she was like making videos of her singing in the bathroom at night. And she would post them on like this like social media account that she made. And someone was messaging her and was like, why are you only ever singing in the bathroom and at night? Well, she's like, oh, that's how my life is, blah, blah, blah. And this guy, random guy on the internet was like, that's not normal. She didn't know that because she'd been like that her whole life. She's like, wait, what? So then what really changed it all is when she found Justin Bieber. And honestly, when she was talking about Justin Bieber, I could cry. And of course I Googled, of course she's like since met Justin. Justin brought her to a concert because apparently this story galvanized the nation. I never heard of it. So she's-
When was this?
So she got out in 2018 and the interview, they all, mostly all of the kids are anonymous except for the two sisters who finally showed their faces in 2022. This interview was like very new. Or maybe it was 2016, 2020. It was 4 years later. So she's like, I used to watch these Justin Bieber music videos and I couldn't believe like they're at the, it's just, you know, those young music videos. It's like they're at a bowling alley and they're having so much fun. She's like, is that like a possibility? Like, I want that life. Like, look like they're having so much fun. And so it was like these little seeds of things that she used to see, High School Musical, that would, like when her parents were out, they had a TV, but of course the kids weren't allowed to watch it. But the parents would leave for like long amounts of time and they were able to like get some context. It's like, what the fuck is going on in the world? And they never left because they were like, our parents like will actually like murder us. Like, and Jordan knew, she's like, if I get caught, like I'm dead. But at least I know I tried. It was so fucking sad. And so all of the things that led her to the place where she was able to like come to the realization and then find the courage to leave was from like pop culture in a way, because that was really the only things they had access to, but like also really fucked up, like manipulative shit. Like they were bankrupt, of course, because nobody was working. They were just beating their kids. And literally they used to go drive themselves into debt, going to Target or Walmart and getting tons of brand new kids' toys for the mom. They were never open. No one was allowed to use them. So the police walk in, they're like, oh, all these kids' toys. It looks like Santa's, you know, workshop. No, they were never allowed to touch them. So fucking weird. Wait, it gets so much worse, okay? So the kids range, when they get saved, from about 10 to 30. That means the kids who are under 18 have to re-enter the foster care system.
And why can't their older siblings adopt them?
Because their older siblings are under a guardianship from the government, because they're not really like fully formed adults, or they're stunted. They would say there was 12-year-olds in there who had the arms of 4-month-olds, infants. Like, that's how crazy malnourished they were. So, wait, it gets even more fucked up. So the kids who went to foster care, ABC News was killing it. Like, literally investigative, calling everyone because the town is covering it up. Council member, they're chasing council members through the lobby. I'm like, yeah, get them. Everyone's covering it up. The kids who were in the foster care system, there are two kids, at least, that we know of, who were in homes who were then raided for abuse. So they went from one hell to another hell. Can you believe that? Then the older kids, you know, it was a story that galvanized the nation. They raised just regular people, GoFundMe, things like that, 600 grand for them. It was put in a trust by the government. This guy, one of the oldest one, 30, he's like, I just wanted a bike. Like, I have a job. Like, I want to get around. No, I couldn't get a bike. Like, they have no access to their own money. They're living in squalor. The person who's like the trustee of the account, of course, ABC News got their name, Vanessa, hunting them down. Oh, she no longer works for the government. Like, so fucking shady. Nothing has changed. The kids are living like nothing. Well, obviously, the kids in foster care are just going to a different sort of hell. And the ones who are older have no help. This like task force was put together to help them and the money and like guide them through life. Be like, they were supposed to help them like use public transit. He would call Vanessa. How do I figure it out? Crazy. Like, it got so fucked up afterwards, even more. But the thing that really struck me was Jennifer, the older one, who was in it the longest, and like, it was just, and she knew that it wasn't supposed to be that way because she lived, even when she was in school, she was never getting showered. Like, they were not taking care of her, but she got to go to school. She said, Diane Sawyer was like, what do you guys want to do now? And here's what was crazy. Jordan, the one who jumped out the window, was like, I love making TikToks. I'm like, that's how I know her. Because for a while, this blonde girl kept coming up on my TikToks. And I was like reading the comments because she was so frail. And everyone in the comments is like, you look so good. I'm so happy for you. And I'm like, wait, what? Because she was literally like, they said she had the legs of like a 6-year-old. So I was like, I remember being so confused and not looking into it further. And then they put up some of her TikToks. I'm like, oh my God, I've seen her dancing. Then I had to go follow her this morning. And then the older girl, and it's really interesting how the whole time, well, the two girls, I don't know about all the other kids, the two girls were like so like strong in their faith. Like they kept talking about God, even though their parents were like crazy fucks who like had so many kids for God and like were doing all this for God. Like they still remained really steadfast in their faith, which I thought was really interesting. And then the older girl, Diane, was like, what do you want to do? She's like, I want to be a Christian pop star. And Diane was like, who do you love? Like, she was like, I love Kelly Clarkson. Wait, and she was like, what's your favorite Kelly? I'm like literally gonna cry. She was like, what's your favorite Kelly Clarkson song? And she was like, Broken and Beautiful, that new one. She was like, that's me from Trolls. She was like, that's me, I'm broken, but it's beautiful. It was, I feel like I was meant to wake up so early so I could watch. I can't believe I didn't know about this. So I'm sorry if you knew that already. I spent literally 16 minutes. Jackie, it was the craziest. I need to watch more documentaries. Like I need to know more. And like going to the sentencing, the two older kids spoke. And then some of the kids wrote letters that the older kids spoke. And like some of them were like forgiving. I'm like, okay, you could never be me. Forgiving, like we see you. Some other kids were like, fuck you. Like this is my life now. And the two parents got 25 to life.
Great.
They're in separate prisons. The dad was like, oh, I have a statement, but my lawyer has to read it. Like, oh, shut up. Okay, that's not about you. And then the mom read a statement. And she's like, I'm sorry that I hurt my kids. Like, I'm not buying it, you know?
Sorry's not going to cut it.
Sorry, and that's really what they said. They were like, you know, we watched her crying on with the speech. And, you know, we believed her. She's our mom. And they were like, we don't even like to call her mom, but we will for the sake of this interview. But they used to make us call them mother and father. But like, I call her Tracy or whatever the fuck her name was. They were like, we watched this apology and we like believed her. But then it's like, we remembered she's so fucking manipulative. Like, you have to remember that. They're like, we have no interest in like ever communicating with her for now. Like, maybe that'll change, but like for now, it's going to be a no. It was the craziest journey I went on this morning.
That makes me so sick.
Jackie was fucking sick.
Especially the part where like it's still not going on for them and the kids in the foster care system.
And that's what the person on the expert was saying. Like, this is a system that was literally created for the sole purpose of helping people.
Helping kids.
And it's literally
the most twisted.
It's the most like fucked up. And so I loved that ABC was like dragging everyone, like the companies, the people, they're calling out employees by name. I'm like, yeah, Vanessa. They were just, honestly, they were doing great reporting. Diane Sawyer, she kills it.
But it's crazy how like everyone in general, in theory, like we need to help the children.
Right.
These kids are in trouble. There's a task force dedicated to helping these kids. The whole world is paying attention. And it's still, they're not helping the kids.
No, it's so disgusting. The government is literal trash.
And also like the girl who went to school until third grade, like showing up not showered, like the teachers are supposed to.
Okay, so that's what they said. They said now they all went back to like her school records. Was there any reporting of, the two telltale signs of abuse are like if a kid shows up really thin and like malnourished looking and unwashed, like unbathed, mm-hmm. dirty clothes, those are the two telltale signs. And according to a classmate of her, like apparently this guy, when this whole story came out, he's a doctor now. His Facebook post went viral because he was like, I remember Jennifer because she was the kid nobody wanted to talk to. They were in the second grade. Right. So like the kids obviously
don't. It's not for the kids to recognize kids obviously don't know better. Abuse.
But he was like, we remember like the smelly kid. And he's like, the guilt I feel for not like acknowledging or reporting, even though it's not on the kids, it's on the adults. And it's a failure on everyone at that school. And oh, by the way, there were so many things. So they were homeschooled because it's not legal to just pull your kids out of school. There's a record. They set up, principal is the dad, whatever. They set up this fraudulent homeschooling. They never homeschool the kids. And you're supposed to have monthly, weekly, I don't know the whole thing, but like when you're a part of the American homeschooling system, there are weekly check-ins that you have to provide. You have to provide curriculum. No one was ever checking in. There was like a million ways that they could have been like a tipped off to what was going on. Never. It took the girl risking her life, jumping out of the window to save her and her siblings. And it was just the way they were talking about the siblings. Ugh, it was just terrible. It was so, so sad.
That's so sad. You know what? It also makes me sad to think about, not to make it worse. But like, I think a lot of situations, teachers do recognize signs of abuse. And that's how a lot of kids are helped and saved.
But also it makes it worse.
How many kids during COVID and didn't go to school. And
I know. I was thinking about that too.
Kids who didn't have food at home. A lot of kids, like, when they go to school, like, they're getting a lunch. They're getting, like, a meal.
Uh-huh.
And that's so important for them. They're also getting, like, all these things if they come from a bad home life.
Yeah.
And there's so many degrees of a bad home life. And there's obviously that extreme. But there's also, you know, lesser forms. And, like, all those kids stayed home for over a year.
I know.
And all those signs of abuse went unseen.
But you know what else? It's like Gabriel Fernandez. His teacher saw bruises and sent CPS, and it made his home situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's really no, like, saving kids in that situation, because only, you know, maybe 1 out of 10 times does it actually work.
They
get out of the abusive home and into a foster care home that's decent.
At best.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's some lovely foster care families.
This is not a general
statement. It's an exception.
Yeah.
It's the exception. Yeah, no, even if you're able to get the teachers see it, CPS does their job, they take the kid, where do they put them?
Right, because with the Gabriel Fernandez situation, it was a huge failure on CPS.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much so, I think, like, Gabriel Fernandez even had a file at the, I think the FBI even looked into it because it was so obvious. Like, they had one of the nurses in the documentary being like, I never saw anything like that in my life. It was just, I'm sorry to, like, be so dark, but it was just really eye-opening and really horrible. But, like, now, like, I love following her on TikTok.
Did they get their money yet because of Diane Sawyer?
I don't know. But, like, we're going to need to follow up.
We're going to need another GoFundMe.
Yeah, totally. Directly. Or let's all just, like, follow them on TikTok. Like, that's a way of supporting people. Like, brand deals, things like that. Like, Jennifer also has a TikTok. The other ones, the oldest one who didn't want to show his face but sent, like, a little video of himself from the back, his name is Jordan. We don't know any of the other kids' names because they've been protected, obviously. They've chosen not to participate, which is totally understandable. So I think in our own ways, like, we can help. I followed her. Like, everyone should follow her.
Yeah.
So that's what I did this morning.
I'll get on TikTok to follow her. That's done. A good, worthy cause.
That's what I did this morning. I feel like I've been up. What time is it? Almost 10 hours. I don't know, like, where this road takes me. I've never slept 2 hours before.
I think it takes you to a nap.
A nap.
And then we have our meet and greet tonight.
Right. So, like, I have to be on. Maybe I, like, nap in the car on the way to the meet and greet. I think that's, like,
why don't you nap after this?
I don't know. I just, like, I'm here. I want to spend time with Kayla. I want to spend time with you. Like, I want to go outside in the pool. Like,
you don't want to waste hours of daylight.
I know.
That's why you're supposed to sleep at night when nothing's happening.
Yeah. No, I tried that. It wasn't working for me.
I'm sorry.
So that's what I did. How was your morning? Obviously different than mine.
Obviously different than yours, but it's been actually a nice morning because we're moving, like, a little slowly, and that is very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was going really well until you shared that story.
I know, and now, I'm so sorry.
I don't know how to pivot.
Well,
I really don't.
No, I know. I'm, like, kind of, like, wishing. And
a lot of times you share a sad story, but it's been a few years and here's where they are now.
No, I know.
And you didn't give us that.
No. But that
you gave us worse and worse.
The two girls who we know seem to be doing really great. Like, they both are so beautiful. I think that the way that they were raised in terms of, like, health will impact their health forever. Like, I don't think they can really, like, realistically change that the way that they look. Like, they're both super, super thin. But the thing is, like, we don't know about the other kids. So, like, that's where the darkness lies.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry to have done that to everyone. But it's something that needs to be spoken about. Like, fuck that city councilwoman. And the one that spoke to them.
Your retelling of it was very good. If you ever wanted to do, like, a podcast about
true crime.
Crazy true stories, I think you had a future.
I feel like this is a general statement on the true crime genre. And this is not saying that those people are bad or that people who listen are bad. There does feel something, like, inherently weird about talking about, like, a very gruesome murder or a tragedy in a small town brought to you by, like,
HelloFresh.
It's the monetization and, like, the cult following vibe of true crime podcasts does, like, give me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies.
I hear that, and I don't disagree with you. I can't really speak to it because I've never listened to an episode.
By the way, it's
and
important so, to and share so that maybe I haven't either.
In every single episode, they're, you know, they come at it from heartfelt, like, an emotional point of view. They're affecting change. Mm-hmm. They're solving crimes.
It's
maybe
possible.
Maybe some of these true crimes are donating a part of the proceeds from every episode to the person impacted in each episode. I don't know what they're doing over there. I'm not going to judge them.
Okay,
maybe there's some that.
That's totally fair. If they are doing that, then I take back everything that I said.
Yeah. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, like,
because if they're not doing any of that,
it's just weird. Like,
yeah,
creating a brand off of, like, other people's misery. No?
Yeah.
So that's just my
thought. But I don't, I can't speak to it.
No, me neither. I've never listened to a true crime
podcast.
But let
me know if they're, you know, paying it forward with this thing.
See, it's like Only Murders in the Building, like in that first season. Did their podcast benefit the victim?
No, they the like building? Slandered that deli owner.
Right. And like the victim's like, you know, personal life.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like if I, you know, I'm tragically ever, you know, disappeared or murdered, like please don't make a podcast about me. Like,
I feel like you would like that.
No, because I wouldn't be like around to get the followers. So like what? You should get the followers? No. No, not only that, but like, you know, really personal things come out in an investigation. Like, obviously, they have to go through your phone. Like, what were you doing the time? Like, what if at the time I was like pooping? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you were face tuning.
Yeah, literally. Please, like, don't make a podcast about if anything happens to me. Like, I'm not interested.
Could I do the podcast?
Okay.
You know, I would, yeah. Aside from calling you an influencer mentor, yeah. I wouldn't say anything slanderous.
No, and I think like you would. I trust your judgment. Like if there's something in the file that like is really embarrassing to my legacy, you would obviously not speak it.
Yeah.
You would just be like, among other things.
I'd say it's classified.
Classified. That would be the name of the podcast. Claudified.
Claude's declassified.
Done. TNN, here we come. So we have a great show, Five Stories, Dear Toasters, which are really unique.
I can't wait.
So I'm ready to dive in because I'm feeling like we need a change of pace.
Yes, we do. So without further ado, feels so good to say that when you know where are you, the Strice Brothers are right here.
It's true. The purse is on your lap. Thrice is on my toe.
I've got my eyes on both of them. So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Honey. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. It supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. So we've been using Honey, like, if you're not, like, what are you doing? The Toasters hooked us to it literally years ago, and now that they're a sponsor, it's just premium because I get amazing savings and discounts from Honey on makeup, electronics, food, clothing, literally anything, you name it. It's so easy. It's free to download when you use our link. Then you're shopping. Check out. Oh, look, press this little gold coin. Maybe he'll save you money. He'll scour the internet. He'll find a promo code that works for you. Boom, you're done. And now, by the way, Honey has a Safari extension, which is crazy.
For your phone.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. There is Safari on a computer too. If you don't already have Honey, you could straight up be missing out. It is free and it installs in seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting the podcast. We would never recommend something we don't use. So you can get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. And today's episode is brought to you by a personal favorite sponsor of Miss Jacqueline, Babbel. For all your summer travels, whether you're going abroad or staying domestic, and you want to immerse yourself in the culture, now is the perfect time to start Babbel. Babbel is a language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, and thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, there's still time to learn a new language before you reach your destination. I feel like this is one of the sponsors that everyone's always like, wait, because you only take it when you need it. So everyone's like, what's the Babbel? And so many people are traveling this summer, so listen up if you want the code and you're ready to start learning a new language just because you feel like expanding your horizons, which is always a good thing to do. Or you're taking a fabulous summer trip and you want to, you know, sing to me, Paolo. You only need 10 minutes with Babbel to complete a lesson, and then you can start having real-life conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. They have 14 different languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, Italiano. And their speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. So you could be like such a local, they won't even know you're just like a big American tourist. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. And right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/TMT. That's Babbel, BABBEL.com/TMT. For up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life.
Great, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Our first story. Brooklyn Beckham is being roasted on social media for claiming his career as a, quote, social media chef paid her for his $1.2 million car. Have you seen this?
No, but like I did see one video where he cooked. So I guess that makes you a chef now.
So a viral TikToker recently caught up with Brooklyn Beckham while he was out cruising around Beverly Hills.
Daniel Mack?
Red McLaren P1. Yes.
Okay. The way I fucking love Daniel Mack. Let me tell you who Daniel Mack is. He's a TikToker who... He started off like so cute, and he's still cute, but like his initial content was so like innocent. He would just walk around like really nice parts of different neighborhoods and see really nice cars and just go up to people and be like, hi, I love your car. What do you do for a living?
Yeah.
People always had really interesting answers. It was never like Wall Street. Like, it was always just something, I have a patent. It was always like unique things. Then people started reaching out to him, so he would get like celebrities on and like go up to people, and it would be like an OnlyFans model that everyone loves. And he really like built his brand, and then he bought himself a car, and it was like so cute. And I love his videos.
Okay, so he, thank you for explaining that. That's what he does. He went up to Brooklyn Beckham in his McLaren and said,
by the way, when it's a celebrity, like, it's usually staged.
I don't think this was.
Really?
Because he said, hey man, what do you do for a living? Your car's awesome.
That's what he does when it's staged too. Like with a celebrity he's like been in contact with to like get in a video. I think like Diplo did one. A million of celebrities have done it.
Okay, well, Brooklyn Beckham responded, I'm a chef. And then Daniel Mack was like, you're a chef, really? Are you like the best chef in the world? And he said, trying to be.
Eek. In Brooklyn Beckham's defense, what does he do for a living, you know?
No, but then people were commenting.
What do you do for a living? I was born.
That's literally what people are commenting, roasting him. Like, okay, maybe you like to cook, but that's not how you paid for your McLaren.
No, for sure. But like, if he was put on the spot, which I refuse to believe that this wasn't like a pre-organized event. But if he was put on the spot, like, it's a hard question for Brooklyn Beckham. He doesn't really have a job.
Right. I would have thought he would say model.
Yeah, I would have said that too.
I would have said model if I was him. Obviously, he wants to be taken seriously as a chef, but like, I really hope this wasn't staged because that makes him look even worse. If it wasn't staged, it's just like an awkward situation to be in considering like,
yeah,
I didn't pay
I
for
I can
the car.
Forgive it if it's not staged.
Yeah. But if he chose this for himself and really is that.
Is the TikTok in there?
The
linked to Daniel Mack? Because if it's like, so usually he'll go up to like five different people in a video and like get their reaction. Sometimes people don't want to be on it. Sometimes they do. But if it's just like one video dedicated to the person, then it's really like, it's a setup thing, you know?
Okay.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yep. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
And like sometimes he'll like take it one step further and do yachts. It's really interesting.
That's a really cool thing.
It's a cool concept.
I wonder that all the time.
Yeah. Like what do people do for a living who have like these big houses and shit? Sometimes he'll get invited to people's houses. Okay, a Brooklyn Beckham here. So McLaren, it's a $1.2 million car. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows Daniel Mack. He tagged Brooklyn Beckham. Are you the best chef in the world? Let's see if there's anyone else in the video, because if there isn't, my name's Brooklyn. Yeah, we know. Any advice for people trying to get into cooking? Yeah, just follow your passion, whatever makes you happy. It's easy to say when you have like $1 billion.
Sounds like someone who doesn't have a job.
He's the only one in the video. It's like a dedicated post. I do believe it is. It looks like it's just like a coordinated partnership. Like maybe he tagged him. He wants like maybe TikTok followers. He probably does want to. Okay, wait. Sorry. The plot thickens. So Brooklyn Beckham is like new to TikTok. He has one video and 48,000 followers. This video was posted in 2021. So maybe he's like getting back into it. And the video he posted in 2021 was of him cooking. but it does feel, oh, his following list is hidden. He follows four people. I wonder if he follows Daniel Mack. He's not letting me investigate because I guess on TikTok you can hide who you follow.
Wow.
Fuck.
I'm starting to feel like this was stage energy, just really.
Jackie, here's Helen Mirren, okay? Like big celebrities do it. It's kind of like a press thing now.
That's cool.
This video has 50 million views.
That's really cool.
I'm shocked.
I can't believe, like, her car was 260K. I can't believe he's riding around in a million.
LeBron James is 770,000. Like, why the fuck is Brooklyn Beckham, no offense, someone who's never worked a day in his life, jealous, riding around in a car that's worth over $1 million? And then honestly, like, I just feel like if this was strategic, like, someone on his team, like, really should have advised him against this, or at least helped with the job description.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been funny if he like, poked fun at himself.
Yeah.
But.
And I feel like maybe that's not his car. Could be his parents. Dad's, could be his wife's. And he just like.
Oh, totally.
He just went to the coolest car in his arsenal to do Daniel Mack.
Not in his arsenal. The coolest car that he had access to.
Right. To do Daniel Mack. Yeah. And then didn't realize that, like, he sounds kind of stupid.
Like, an out of touch. Well, I enjoyed talking about it. So for that, I'm grateful to Brooklyn and Nicola and all the people who made this possible. And Daniel.
Brooklyn and Nicola are like the top of the news every single day. There's something every single day because she was supporting him or he was supporting her. One of them has a project coming out. Who knows? Plus like the Victoria drama.
Right. Like she's been speaking on the Victoria
drama.
She
dyed her hair brown. Did you see this?
I did. I follow her on Instagram.
Me
and I have
too.
To say it's... It was great during the wedding. And she's just like copying like other famous people's aesthetic.
No, I saw her do a Q&A the other day. And like, it was like, you know, it was meant to be like an intimate Q&A. As Q&As on Instagram really are.
Should be,
you can learn a lot about someone. And everything was just like such nonsense. Like every answer, every answer was like, every question's sort of like what inspires you sort of thing. And I like, you know, it's just like, follow your dreams. Like, and it was fucking nonsense. Not a drop of tea.
And imagine the question she actually got. Like, how much does your house cost? Like, she probably got interesting
ones. How are things
ones.
With Victoria?
Right, right. Is Brooklyn good in bed? Like, I'm sure she got extremely, if I was there on time, I would have posted like
Instead, she like probably like chose ones along the lines of like, you know, about her acting career sort of crap. Like it was.
And it's important to remember that like when like a big time celebrity or influencer, more so celebrity than influencer, but when they do Q&As, they're like extremely, they're doing it for a reason. Like I know a lot of people who submit their own questions and I can't lie. I did that once because I just wanted to clear something up. But like they do it to either like to portray an image or to address one particular thing. So like it's clear that her Q&A was not really like get to know me and like what my life is like. It's like, yes, I'm an actress. Take me seriously, I'm an artist.
Yeah, no, it was a bunch of nonsense, hooey. And I wanted to see if she like saved it to her highlights so I could give you an example of the nonsensicalness. It was Nicola's mindless Q&A.
No, and you know what? Like, it kind of makes sense like why they're compatible because like they're both like extremely privileged and like kind of out of touch.
They're living in the clouds.
They're living in the clouds, like on another planet that I would love to inhabit one day.
It must be so nice
to just not know. Anything.
No.
To not know what it's like to record a podcast and realize that your sister's microphone is off.
And she posted like a long thing on her Instagram the other day about like
anxiety,
her emotions.
Yeah.
I think to tell us that like everything's not what it seems and that she has bad days too.
I'm sure she does.
But again,
but they're not worse than mine.
It was couched in like nonsensical language.
You know, it's like this celebrity language full of like buzzwords and empty words.
I just want to give an example because I want you guys to just like understand.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about, but please, an example would be great.
Yeah, the picture is of her crying, like looking very sad. Gorgeous, so
you're right. And that's what I look like when I cry. I don't know if you guys know that.
Beyond stunning. Sometimes I find it hard to show the sad bits of me. Growing up with 7 siblings and 2 very strong parents made me really tough. They hammered it into me not to let people bring me down or hurt my heart. It made me put up such a wall to protect myself, especially in this industry. Actually, as I'm reading this out loud, I feel like this is her way of responding
to Bella,
to the criticism that she's a mean girl. Like, I put up walls to protect myself because of like the way I grew up.
Can I tell you that when I read it for the first time, like on my Instagram feed, it felt, I literally felt like it was a direct response to like the Bella Thorne accusation
and
all those years
just
ago.
Like this accusation that she's an ice queen, that like her and Victoria are in this cold war because they're both really icy. So I feel like that's what she's saying.
Perhaps.
We all have days where people make you feel bad and it's okay to be hurt by it. Like, that's just, like, nonsense, but okay.
No, and, like, that's just, like, wait, say it again?
Like, all have days where people make you feel bad, and it's okay to be hurt by it.
No, we know that. Like, we learned that in school. Like, it's called processing emotions. Like, that's a celebrity thing. Saying the most obvious thing and acting in a fancy way.
And acting like it's a revelation.
Yeah.
You guys, wait, I just learned it's okay to be sad. And you could be sad, too, sometimes.
And then they'll make it, like, a trendy. Like, it's okay to not be okay.
Right. So yeah. Merch.
It's giving nonsensicalness.
Yeah, this part. I just thought I would write something because I never show this side of me here. I wanted to show you this side of me.
I'm still unsure which side of
this side that like could get hurt.
Oh my God, she's human? Holy shit, I didn't know that.
That's what she's saying, I think. And I don't want to like laugh at someone saying
no,
I actually really like her and I support her. I just like cut back the nonsense, everyone, please.
Yeah, like just show us who you are or don't be on social media,
and
honestly.
It's like when people only show like the highlight reel and then are like, well, there's this part of me too. And it's like, well, you're the one who only showed us the good part.
Right, if we think a certain way, it's because you told us to think that way.
Right.
Totally. That's why
That's how I feel about like Erica, ours. Jane, and Tom. She's always like, it was so dark. I'm like, you made him seem like—
It wasn't.
The king.
It's confusing for sure, especially—
Like I read your book, I had so much respect for him.
Right.
And you're telling me the whole time it was terrible.
Right, and it's possible that like you're covering up, but like to go so far on one extreme—
She would glow about him.
So true.
But it was unnecessary.
Like, right, no one asked.
Right.
Nobody, Erica. Tom is just the best.
Right.
Yeah. But I can't wait to try some of his food. Brooklyn.
Yeah. He better be a good chef. I just after all this. After all of this.
Yeah, they did like one video on like Vogue when they were engaged, like cooking with the Peltz Bickhams.
Yeah, that always like feels like a weird thing, like celebrities who just want to try something new. Chef.
Yeah, no, and I think it's like definitely insulting to the chef community. Like, oh, yeah. No, I put myself through culinary school, bussing tables. Like, I worked so hard my whole life taking shit job after shit job, education, this opportunity to finally make it and to call myself a chef.
Yeah.
And you made a pasta bolognese and you're a chef.
Yeah.
Well, by that standard, I'm definitely a chef because I make cereal all the time.
And you make dinner for Theo.
So true. And that's not easy, especially recently. It's on this new antibiotic. It's been really tough.
A lot of mixing. You're also a chemist.
My cauldron. Spooky.
Are you ready for our next story? That what Claudia sent to me, she put it in. She said she wanted it in the stories.
Yeah, and that's what you get when you follow. I'm like embarrassed, like because I'm literally forgetting her name and she's like actually my friend. What is Alice's name? Ashley Green. I'm so sorry. When you follow Ashley Green, she's a host of the Twilight Effect podcast, which I was on one time. Check it out. And they always have like interesting guests. And this time they had, I think, the director. And he was just sharing information. Here's what he shared.
Taylor Swift was turned down for a part in Twilight New Moon because it would have been too distracting. I'm having like...
heartburn?
No. Like the lights in my head. It's just like I'm feeling like lightheaded.
Do you want me to read?
I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I'm just like looking in too many places. But
have you had something to eat today, sweetheart?
Yeah, I had oatmeal and a Go Macro bar, so I should be full.
All right, let me know if you want me to do the reading. I'm such a good reader.
I think it's just like maybe I have just kind of a dull headache at all times.
And it's bright in here.
And it's really bright, yeah. Taylor Swift was apparently rejected from a role as an extra in Twilight New Moon as the director thought her appearance would steal focus from the rest of the film. At the time of the Twilight saga's prominence, the singer was a known fan of the books and films. She was a Twihard. In a new interview, Chris Weitz, who directed the second Twilight film, revealed that he reluctantly had to deny her the part of an extra in the background. Taylor was a huge Twihard, and Taylor and I had the same agent at the time. And he said Taylor would like to be in this movie, not because of you, but because she's a Twihard. She would be someone at the cafeteria or the diner or whatever, but she just wants to be in this movie. Although it wouldn't have been a major role for the singer, the director believed that the surprise appearance of a major celebrity would distract from the rest of the film. As a result, he turned down the proposition. He said the hardest thing for me was to be like, the moment that Taylor Swift walks onto the screen for about 5 minutes, nobody's going to be able to process anything. I kicked myself for it too, because I was like, wow, I could have been hanging out with Taylor Swift. I just want to say, I think he's wrong.
Wow, okay.
And the reason why I think that is because of what Game of Thrones did, having Aaron Rodgers, Chris Stapleton in like the final season, because they were huge fans, took away from nothing. Just a fun little fact. She could have easily been disguised. And by the way, like Twilight is as big of a machine as Taylor Swift was at that time. Now she's like, you know, that would be like having Beyonce in your movie. Yeah. But at that time she was... still huge, but it just would have been like a really fun thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have distracted at all. And if anything, like New Moon would have been distracting because it was bad.
Yeah, the thing about New Moon is that it's my least favorite Edward is in it for 45 seconds.
And Eclipse is actually the worst one because that's the one about newborns.
No, for sure. But like Edward's in it being sexy and like, you know, the end is like bad. Like the plot is not my favorite, but like there's goodness in it. The fucking second one, Edward's gone. Bella's fucking depressed. Like it sucks.
Yeah.
She's there's in a possibility. That's a song playing when she's going around. There's a possibility. And she's like, it's snowing. Then there's leaves. It's blossoming.
Seasons are changing.
Seasons are changing, and she's just like depressed, like not leaving her house because Edward's fucking gone. And I would do the same fucking thing.
That reminds me of the special. I'm grateful for the seasons.
Yeah, from Tim Dillon. You love quoting comedy specials.
I do. I wonder what that says about me.
That you're hilarious. That's what it says.
I think so. I'm able to apply comedy jargon in everyday life.
I was gonna say that I obviously think that like while it would have been amazing, it definitely would have been a distraction. But you do raise an interesting point about Game of Thrones. Even though I don't think that Chris Stapleton or Aaron Rodgers are as visually as distracting even together as also because, I mean, I guess like they were playing like cavemen and they look like cavemen. Whereas like she would be playing a high school senior and she does look like a high school senior. So she could fit in, but like Taylor's just, she's not one to blend in, you know,
with yeah, the but hair and the lips. Also like in High School Musical 2 at the end, like Miley gets a cameo and like that just added to the movie. It was a fun thing. She's dancing, like great. And she was like a huge star at the time.
Yeah, that's totally true. And by the way, what's interesting is what they did do in...
And it's not like it was the first Twilight where it's like, yeah, this could eclipse the whole franchise. Mm-hmm. It's like Taylor's in the movie. They had some good, really, I mean, good momentum, huge momentum. It was the biggest franchise in the world. Like, throw her in.
Yeah, especially because I think in the fourth movie, Breaking Dawn Part 1, the woman who wrote the book, Stephanie Meyer, is an extra. She's a guest at the wedding. So you see her in the ceremony when Bella's walking down. And then I think you see her like eating a piece of cake. And a lot, the fandom knew her very well. So there is a way to do it in a way that's like not distracting and classy. But I'm also curious about the timing as it pertains to Taylor Lautner.
Ooh.
Was she trying to just
be with her mans?
Or no, like,
they were together during that movie, Valentine's Day, and that was so much later.
Right, but so like maybe she was like into him. And like that was like her first, and it didn't work out. So she like forgot about it. But then later on, they happened to be cast in a movie together. Maybe she was like had a crush on him for many years. And of all the men Taylor has dated, I don't think anyone, you know, has a more glowing review than Taylor Lautner. Back to December. It's like the only song where like she's wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And she goes back to December all the time.
Beautiful.
Turns out freedom ain't nothing but missing you, wishing I'd realize what I had when you were mine. I go back to December, turn around and change my own mind. She's mad at herself. She like literally like bounced and he was just like, this is such a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm happy for him because he's engaged to a girl named Taylor. So we all win.
We really do.
Especially Taylor. Who gets to marry Taylor Lautner.
Right.
We're all winners.
Are you ready for our next story? Mm-hmm. Julia Louis-Dreyfus's son, Charlie, has joined the Sex Lives of College Girls cast.
Wait.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus's youngest son named Charlie has been cast in season 2 of Sex Lives of College Girls.
That show, which I adore, is literally a breeding ground for nepotism. Timothée Chalamet's sister, everyone, you know?
So true. Yeah. But he really looks like a regular college guy, and he's an actor and he's in other projects too, but it looks like a perfect casting.
Now, I don't know this man. I'm sorry to this man. But when it comes to nepotism, I very much judge on a case by case basis, and I will not be judging in a negative way because Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, has contributed so much to pop culture, to television, to entertainment. She could do whatever the fuck she wants. And honestly, her son's kind of hot. So
yeah,
how old is he?
What?
How old is he?
He's 26, 25. Oh,
cool. I don't want to be out here calling like 14-year-olds hot. You know, yeah. Kids these days, they're like 12 and they look 25.
Yeah, when they're also 25 and they look 12. It's 100%. So confusing.
And yet I'm 28 and look 24.
How old do you guys think we are? Sound off in the comments.
Actually, sure. Jackie, I'm not interested in hearing what anyone thinks about how I look, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
What if it's a compliment?
No, because it might be a compliment.
They think,
but an really, insult to me.
It's an influencer mentor.
Yeah. Because people are always like, oh my God. And it's so nice. Like ever since I've like lost like 25 pounds, actually. People are like, you look amazing. But like, so I didn't look amazing before.
Okay. I just want you to know, if you go back to before you started dieting and you look at pictures from like the show, post show pictures, like everyday people are like, okay, your skin's glowing. Your hair's amazing. Where's your romper from?
Okay. Okay. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, but like, you know.
It's not like you're only getting compliments.
But that's life. You know, like somebody says something and you internalize it in a different language.
Right. But also you do look good. Like leave it at that. Take the compliment.
No, for sure.
Take the win. Walk away.
No, for sure. For sure. Being gorgeous. It's a lot of mental, you know, gymnastics.
Anguish.
Yeah.
Anguish. So do the flip.
You have to stop quoting a special. Nobody knows what we're talking about, Jackie.
Okay. Like, I'm quoting Tim Dillon special. Go watch it.
Do a flip. I love Sex Lives of College Girls. I think it's so good. Waiting for season 2 with bated breath. Excited about Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Me too. I hope that he's great. I mean, Timothée Chalamet's sister is great. So sometimes nepotism can open you up to a great talent.
100%. I'm open to it. And Timothée Chalamet's sister is the best part of the show. She's so fucking funny. And I love Renee Rapp. I've been like keeping up with her post show.
But her brother isn't on season 2. Like the
I know,
guy.
Her brother on the show.
Yeah.
That guy who was fucking Kimberly.
Yeah.
Which was just like a
Nico.
Nico. I know. He got like another job. That show's gonna be like the next Girls. Like I don't know why anyone would leave it.
Moron.
People are so dumb. It like it's fun to watch.
It boggles the mind.
But it could never be me. Like I get on a hit show, you're gonna have to drag me off the set. My cold dead body.
You'll be doing like the reboot. You'll be doing the rewatch podcast.
I'm the first one to sign up. I'm doing it all.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story? Like really switching
gears. I'm Lucas Grabeel.
For sure.
Sorry, you were
the
saying?
The first one in the reboot. Yeah.
First one to sign up. The first one posting on social media. It's in my bio. Like,
no, you know who you are?
Who?
What? Bart Johnson. You're on Cameo.
100%. I'm Bart Johnson. 100%. Because I'm still really good looking, even after the show's long over. And I will be the first one on set.
When the reboot happens.
You're
commenting on all the cast members.
I'm commenting on E! News' post every time they post about something even remotely Disney related.
You are doing cameos in character.
I'm motherfucking Bart Johnson. What are you two doing in a tree? Evil fucking laugh.
Okay. Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm.
Tamra Judge is closing Cut Fitness after nearly 10 years in business. Quote, it's sad.
That is sad.
Tamra and her husband Eddie are saying goodbye to their business. People can confirm that the couple have officially closed Cut Fitness, the gym they own in Rancho Santa Margarita, California. The pair opened the studio in March 2013. Unlike big box chain gyms, the fitness studio focused on personal training, nutrition coaching, and Spartan race training, among other things.
Sounds horrible.
Don't know if you know this, but CUT stands for cardio unique training. And I just
it's
feel
giving
like,
sir.
No, but that's your favorite word. It's unique.
Yeah, no, this definitely feels like a ripoff of sir. Like,
no, but they had a 10-year run. She talked about it on her podcast with Teddy Mellencamp, which we haven't discussed the fact that they have a podcast together.
I know.
And I feel like I'm always seeing it around charts and stuff. I feel like it does pretty well. I love that for them. Can't like it's surprising that they're friends.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the recipe for perfection. Like two fired housewives who will literally do anything to stay relevant on their respective shows. It's literally like you can't create more chaos than that. Like they're both clinging on to what they once had.
But I feel like that's even if other housewives like tried to do this, it would just be sad. But there's something like pretty respectable about their podcast. I don't know why I feel that way, but I
maybe
feel
because
like
they actually do it.
They do it, and it's always charting. Sometimes they make news. It's called Two Teas in a Pod. Mm-hmm. Really cute name. Yeah. And I guess because they're like an unexpected duo. Anyways, they're making news once again. But Tamra is sad about the gym. I think it's really the end of an era. But she also talked about her CBD company. You know, they have a CBD.
They were on our podcast talking about it.
Vena CBD. They're sold at Sally Beauty stores. And Tamra said, their CBD success business is very successful. It pays her way more than the show. So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. And you know what? Like having a brick and mortar store for 10 years is not easy, no matter what you're selling.
No, and to own a gym in COVID was really hard. So to have made it this far is an accomplishment.
It's an accomplishment. It is the end of an era. You know, it's like Coto Insurance. It's iconic. But, you know, when she came on our show to talk about her CBD, like they pitched her for the CBD and we were like, yeah, sure. But we just wanted to talk to Tamra. And then the more I spoke to her about it, the vibe I got was like she was running like an actual, like legitimate business. And I think she must have like invested a lot of money in this like really early on and it's paying off. I do believe that her CBD company is like legit.
Yeah, I mean, to be in Sally Beauty
is not easy.
Yeah.
So good for her.
Yeah.
And I have to assume she was making about $1 million a season on Housewives. So that means she's making more than $1 million.
Yeah. I thought that was, you know, a little bittersweet news.
Yeah, no, it's sad, but it's time.
Yeah, but also maybe it's like it was time to move on from the gym because these other ventures are just more profitable.
Or it was time to move on from the gym because she didn't have the show to really supplement like marketing wise. Like
yeah.
No one would have heard of Cut Fitness. It just would have been like another nice gym in Orange County. But like being attached to the show and having all the events there and all the girls going to train there, like it's good marketing.
Right, but she is going back on the show, so I feel like she could have held out if she wanted to.
Yeah, but maybe it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I hope everything's okay. Speaking of another institution that's shutting down, but good news. So I don't know if we spoke about this or if you guys knew that the Central Park Boathouse is closing.
Oh.
You knew that, I told you.
I don't remember.
Which really is like
iconically sad.
Iconically sad.
Yeah.
The New York Post had written like an op-ed about why we need to save the boathouse. Mm-hmm. And a secret billionaire has made a $6 million offer to save the Central Park Boathouse after reading the post.
I wish a secret billionaire would just like save me. but that is so cute. Gotta know who he is just because like the more billionaires I'm aware of, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that. You know, it's important to invest in your city. And I'm glad someone else is so I don't have to. And I've never been to the boathouse. So I know it's iconic. It's where Carrie and Big fell into the lake. Like I know all about it. Mm-hmm. I've just personally never been there. So
Yeah. So the operator had said he had no choice but to close the Central Park restaurant on October 17th due to skyrocketing costs. Then the secret billionaire approached the operator with a deal to finance the renovation of the iconic property and keep it open under his current contract with the city. The original author of the New York Post op-ed said, however you played it, this is bad news for the city. A darkened boathouse would leave a heartbreaking hole in the park at a time when New York's green lung needs all the wholesome, law-abiding human traffic it can handle.
It's so true. Straight like this facts. Is like if it were to officially close, it would just be like reflective of the state of the city, like, you know, exiting the pandemic, just not doing well. So you know what? Alas, there is hope.
Yeah, so I think that's some good positive news. If you were hoping to get married at the boathouse one day, like the dream right. is still alive.
Recreating the Carrie and Big like kiss thing.
Yeah.
Also, if anyone happens to know like who the secret billionaire is, like I'm just like curious and nosy. So write in the comments, or if you like don't want to like out yourself, feel free to send me a DM. I'm just like beyond curious. Like there's so many billionaires in
and
New York.
And why must it be a secret? I feel like owning the boathouse would be, you know, a crown jewel in your portfolio.
So it's probably like a billionaire who's not famous and like doesn't want to be famous. He likes being rich. Like, he knows that
maybe
like.
Maybe he looks out on the park and wants to see it flourishing.
No, he's probably smart enough and like experienced enough to know like people want to be rich and famous. And really, if they were rich, it would solve 99% of their problems. Like fame does nothing.
Yeah, but like, there's so much ego.
Yeah, but so I'm saying like a normal billionaire might not do it, but we happen to find like a humble billionaire.
Who
he sounds
is,
like he would make great husband.
We're disgusting saying he.
Let's be real. It's probably like, God, it's probably a he. unless it's Mackenzie, you know? Oh my, that is so terrible of me, but like.
Maybe it's Kylie.
Can you, and let me just Google something really quick. Like
how many female
curious.
Billionaires? Yeah. Maybe it's
female
Kim.
Billionaires. Percentage male billionaires. I never know like what to say into Google. Like
I just type the whole thought. How many female billionaires are there compared to
thank
men?
You. As of 2022, number of billionaires around the world in 2019 by gender. Okay, so statistics are on my side. I'm not just being a bitch. But this is also in the world. Male, 2,489.
Billionaires.
Yeah. Female, 336. So it's like, it's apples and to oranges. And that's not to say women can't be billionaires. I just know the world we live in. So I'm not saying I don't believe women can be billionaires.
She never said that. I was sitting here the whole time. She never said that.
I know statistics. Because, you know, I'm always watching those videos. Like, now this. You know that, like, weird, like, that was, like putting clips. Shit together. And it's, like, always sharing random shit. And it's, like, here's the, you know, the richest person in every state. And this is just the statistics, not me. There's, like, two women. And they're either like an heiress or a widow.
Yeah, or a divorcee.
Right. So, sorry, I'm not just like being a bitch against women. It's just what the thing said.
Facts are facts.
And that's because women aren't given opportunities. And that's not my fault. Don't fucking put that on me, you bitches.
No, she's creating opportunities for women all the time.
100%. To have a great, I'm creating opportunities for women to have a great time at my show. Tickets available at girlinthejob.com/tour. So I can be the 397th female billionaire. And you know what I would do? Keep it all for myself.
And for Theo.
Of course, of course. And of course, give it to charity.
Finally, he could get his foot fixed.
Of course, I would give it to charity.
The charity world is everything.
No, my charity is Cookies for Claudia.
The Turpin family.
100%. Thank you for bringing it back.
You get a big house. Oh, no, actually, that might be.
You know, I was actually thinking when Diane was telling us all about this, like, Diane, buy them a house. Like, seriously, like, just pay the mortgage for the rest of your life. Like, come on, you have so much money. Like, I know it's not on her, but I can't imagine she wasn't so moved by right. everything she learned. And like, I'm sure they sat down for the interview ready just like to see how life was going and wasn't expecting to find that like it's still going on. And I'm just like, come on, Diane. Or Justin Bieber too. Like, come on.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, when you're watching, yes, and maybe she does gift, but I think also part of
her job
being her job, like she probably has to draw a line somewhere because if she was moved by every single case.
She'd own like 11 homes.
She would have, yeah. So. Yeah.
That's just not sustainable.
Yeah.
But it was just like, Diane was like, oh no, what can we do? I'm like, I don't know. Aren't you like the most powerful woman in the world? Like,
right.
Do
what
something.
Can we do? What can
right, you're
you
chasing down
do?
This like moronic chairwoman of the council of this local board. It's like, Diane Sawyer's here. Like, Diane, like make a call.
We're saved.
Make a call.
Right, yeah, like start another fund, put it on your Instagram, call your friends. Like.
Yeah. I just thought it was like, oh no, I'm like Diane, like.
That's like when a lot of celebrities get backlash for posting like GoFundMes
for their family members
or their friends and the friend's family. And it's like, well, you could pay the bill.
Yes. I do think that it depends on the celebrity because there's this general, like, I think a lot of people overestimate the type of money certain celebrities make, but like Lady Gaga posting like save my dad's restaurant. Like you fucking save your dad's restaurant, bitch. I just bought your album. Like go fucking do it. That was weird of her. Like low key.
Yeah.
Not cool. Not cool. Are you ready for Dear Toasters?
Yes.
Dear Toasters is brought to you by Noom. When anyone decides to lose weight, it's not usually just about the number on the scale. I know for
me, Claudia can tell you that.
It really doesn't even matter. For me, it's like about overall well-being. I know it's about like fatigue. There's so many things that come when I'm just not being healthy. And that's why Noom is a really interesting approach if you're looking to make a change. Noom Weight is ready to help. Noom Weight's psychology-based approach empowers you with the knowledge and support to build lasting results. With their psychology-first approach, they are helping more than 3.6 million people lose weight. Every journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. The program is based on scientific principles like cognitive behavioral therapy to help you understand your relationship with food. So I know a lot of people find a lot of different beneficial things from Noom. I know we both have talked about how what we really like about it is just like they have a food database and it's just so interesting. Like when you're eating stuff, like if you're not really thinking about it, you're not thinking about what's in the food. So they have a really extensive database that just lets you know like what exactly is in everything you're eating.
And you can track your day, see your day at a glance.
At a glance, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah, Noom, I'll catch you in 3 weeks when I'm weaned off of breastfeeding. We're getting back to work, me and Noom.
And you can stay focused on what's important to you with Noom Weight's psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/toast. That's noom.com/toast to sign up for your trial today.
Excuse me, what do you have to lose?
Sorry, it wasn't in the copy, actually. I think maybe they've moved on from that sentiment. Dear Toasters, our Wednesday weekly advice segment. So if you're looking for advice from your two favorite gal pals, you can email deartoasters@gmail.com, deartoasters@gmail.com. And we'll keep it anonymous. You can change people's names. We'll never know. And if you write us an email and then you regret it and you follow up, like, please don't read this. We do get those emails too. So don't worry. We're never going to read something nobody wants us to read. We have three really good ones today. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go like least crazy to most crazy.
Okay, good. I need to work my way up. I need to turn these lights off so I can think.
Okay. Ready? Hello, beautiful, stunning, and smart queens. Hi. I'm a longtime male toaster.
Breather.
Guanj Instagram follower, comedy tour guest. Who is this man? I've recently come across some news regarding one of my close friends that I just cannot shake from my head. My friend, let's call her Margot, has recently shared with me that she only showers once a week. This came up when we were at a fair, and I said to her that I was going to go home and shower for the second time that day after walking around the heat and the fog of the barbecue smoke for hours. She then shared with me that she only showers on Sundays. Mind you, it was Friday. She tried to explain to me that her lack of bathing is the reason for her skin being so soft, and that the reason she hates showering is due to some unresolved trauma from her childhood. Apparently, her parents would make her shower every day, and she absolutely hated it, and it would cause conflict in her family. This then created some resentment from her towards showering. I've heard you both talk about this on the podcast before, so I just wanted some input on how to navigate this. She doesn't ever really smell, and I'm not sleeping with her yet. But I just can't shake this every time I see / think of her. Please give me your thoughts / advice. Sincerely, a clean toaster who usually showers twice a day, but at least once.
Okay, so two things. First, the fact that she showers once a week, and then I'll get into like the reason.
The trauma.
But the first thing, showering once a week, yeah, not most of us do it. But if you're saying she doesn't smell, she has this like gorgeous skin and maybe she's onto something. Okay, so she'll smell like barbecue for the next 2 days. But if you're not going to be with her and it really doesn't bother you, that's just like a weird thing.
I would also just double check that she didn't mean she washes her hair once a week. Because there's two different types of showers. And girls, like I have like three different types of showers, you know, like one full immersion going in, hair, everything, shaving. Second is like a light body between washes, you know? And then the third is like a deep body, no hair. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone has their own version.
I just really have two.
I have three.
Showering without hair, showering with hair.
But I think there's two different types of showering without hair.
Okay, but say she's talking about like she really doesn't shower. I mean, back in the day, people only took baths whenever they could carry all the water.
No, like, I'm sorry. Taking a shower once a week is not normal. So we have to get to the root of it. And it sounds like we're at the root of it. I do feel like she's probably holding back on, she wasn't going to share like her deepest childhood trauma, like all the details at the barbecue. I feel like there's probably more there.
Yeah, I would assume there is, because just
being forced to shower every day.
That's like what parents make you take
that's
a shower.
That's
a
growing up. So I feel like there's more probably unresolved trauma there. And I honestly would take the route of encouraging her to explore that with a therapist.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's being a good friend, honestly. Like, yeah. You can't help her.
Yeah, just be like, I thought about what you said and it's really stuck with me.
And I care about you.
Yeah. And I just like want to see you thriving. I don't want you to be like held back and not like showering because of something from your childhood. Like, have you ever thought of talking to someone?
Yeah. I haven't heard the soft skin thing. So as far as I know, that's not true.
No, showering dries out your skin.
So moisturize it afterwards.
But like, if you don't, I mean, I shower.
How can water dehydrate your skin? Oh.
Because it takes away from the oils, because water and oil don't mix.
Oh, okay, whatever, Bill Nye. So what was our advice? Talk to her about it. Encourage her to...
recommend help.
Yeah, like dig into that. It's something that should be resolved. You know?
Even if she gets to the bottom of the trauma but still only wants to shower once a week because she likes how it makes her skin feel, that's fine for her.
Right, she'll be clean on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up. Good morning, ladies. First of all, thank you for always delivering premium content no matter what. Obviously, this was written before yesterday. I'm in a giant pickle. For some backstory, I had a boyfriend in high school who was my first everything. His name was Jack, and we really loved each other, but we had some different goals and plans at that point in our lives. We've talked maybe 3 to 4 times in the last 11 years. Never wanting to commit otherwise, he lived all over the country and really focused on building his career. He was engaged at one point, but called it off. Fast forward to this weekend, I woke up at 6 a.m. on Sunday to go to the gym, and I had a Venmo notification on my phone. It was for $1, and it was from Jack. It had his phone number in the comment part of the notification. I had recently been thinking about him and he reaches out like this. The notification came in around 5 a.m. So he obviously had been up drinking all night. I don't know if that's a fair.
He was up thinking about you. Yeah. He couldn't sleep.
He was also going to the gym.
Why were you watching a documentary?
Yeah. I had to work after the gym, so I waited to call him. I called in the afternoon and we talked for almost 2 hours, just catching up as if no time has passed, which was how this worked with him every time we caught up. When I told him that I was engaged, he seemed genuinely happy for me. He's not on socials at all, so he had no way of knowing that. In this conversation, he told me the other efforts he had made in the recent past to get a hold of me. I'm obviously very in love with my fiance, and I want to spend the rest of my life with him, but Jack has always been in the back of my mind. Am I making a mistake to not see him next time he's in town, end of October? Or do I block his number and not even entertain it? I struggle with living the rest of my life with a what if in the back of my mind. Please help. I will take the dragging through the mud if that's what's warranted. Love, a forever loyal toaster.
No, oh my God, this is like a movie.
I was going to say, it sounds like a book. I mean, I would have to really know what your fiance is like. But like, is there a world in which you could be like, I need to have a conversation with someone like before we move forward? Are you open to that? Like if he seemed like a really jealous type or like a protective type, like you would know immediately that that's not something he would be open to. But it reminds me of this book I read, One True Love's. You know, her new fiance really understood. She was like, you need to spend time with your ex-husband. Like, make sure that, like, I don't want to be, like, your runner-up. Like, I want you to choose me because you want to choose me.
Yeah, that's very, that's a fantasy.
Yeah.
What I would say to you is, you know, he could always be the one that got away, but I do think we have a tendency to romanticize the past. And I think you had, like, a high school relationship. He probably seems really good. And, you know, every time you talk for 2 hours, it's, you know, you have, like, a cute, probably a little flirty conversation and it's like fun and exciting, but to live life with someone every single day and to find a person who you enjoy doing that with,
is
a huge feat. And maybe every day in and out of Jack, it's not going to be those 2 hour conversations. And I think, you know, the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush in this case. And it's not like you were having doubts about your fiance before.
Right.
And I think like, Jack in theory is like, ooh, so exciting. In practice, you know, it's another tough relationship that you got to work through. And I just don't think that, I think, you know, it's like cute and fun and sweet right now, but you have the real thing with your fiance right now. And there's no way to know if you would have that with Jack just because every few years you talk for 2 hours and reminisce about the good old days.
We were just talking about this on the podcast about how like, a lot of people look back and like romanticize that like last year of high school, the summer before college, like, and in actuality, like it wasn't really like that for anyone. We just like look back on that time now through like rose colored lenses, whether it's because of like movies we've watched or just like our youth and nostalgia. So you're probably right in the sense that like you're remembering him better or more romantically than it was.
Not even that. It's like, so say you meet someone who you enjoy for like an afternoon and then you start thinking like, oh my gosh, like every day would be like that if, you know, we were together, but it's like, know. Think about the first time you met your fiance. Like,
right.
But the fact that you do have a life that you love with your fiance, like, it really it's doesn't huge. Get better than that.
100%.
And the odds that it's going to be better with Jack, considering it's pretty good right now, are extremely slim.
And considering, like, you really don't know him anymore. Like, a couple phone calls over 11 years is not a friendship make.
Yeah, no, that's not a relationship. That's not living with someone. Like, I think you found it.
Yeah, I'm with Jax.
And I think that if you actually went down the road of exploring things with Jack, it would not work out just because most relationships don't work out.
Hashtag, I'm with her. She's right. Listen to Jackie. Don't listen to anything I say.
No, I think you were agreeing with me.
No, for sure. But, like, your phrasing was just more on point. All right, this is the one I really wanted to get to, okay?
Oh, gosh, okay.
Because honestly, I don't have any expertise in this at all.
Do I?
I don't think so. But again, I've never looked up your butthole, so.
Ooh.
Hey, Jackson Claude.
Hey.
I've been dating this new guy for a few months, and I have yet to tell him about a personal issue I have. Hemorrhoids. I try my best to not let them be seen during sex, and I don't think he has ever seen them. If he has, he's just being nice and not mentioning it. So my dilemma is that I have to have a procedure done next week where I have to be put under. It's basically a colonoscopy, and I don't know if I should tell him about it or not. I've never been put to sleep before, so I'm nervous, but I'm just too embarrassed to tell him. Do you think I should just get this procedure done and keep it a secret, or should I go ahead and tell him so I don't have to keep hiding it while I simultaneously work on incorporating more fiber into my diet to shrink the roids? If so, how should I go about telling him? A toaster in distress.
How long have they been together?
A few months.
I think that you should tell him. Now, there's something about the word hemorrhoids that's like, I don't know, maybe it was in a movie or something where it's like...
You know, it's like a gross word.
Yeah, so...
When actual hemorrhoids are just like actually extremely common occurrence for many people.
Yeah. So if you want to go full hemorrhoid, go for it. I always think honesty is the best policy. If you're having a major surgery and you are seeing someone, like, you have to tell him you're doing something. You could, like, lie and say that it's something like gynecological and then he won't ask any more questions. Or you could just be honest.
Yeah, I'm okay with, like, a lie by omission. Like,
yeah, I'm getting the thing done down
come
there.
Come pick me up. Like, but I think, like, you don't really have to go into, like, 100% detail. Like, first of all, you'll learn a lot when you're out of surgery and, like, he's the one taking care of you, if he is. Like, that's what husbands do. So you'll really be able to see. And, you know, if it's going really well, maybe you can just be like, okay, like, I was a little embarrassed, but, like, honestly, you've been so great. I actually just have hemorrhoids. Like, no big deal.
No, but if you got through it, he didn't know. Right, right.
No, but then, like, what if he's, like, acting like a child and you're like, oh, wow, I'm so fucking glad I didn't tell this guy I have hemorrhoids. He's obviously, like, so immature and not husband material, you know?
Right, right.
I think we should see how he acts, like, before.
It's a good test.
Yeah, it really is, because that's what happens. Like, when you're married, like, your husband sees you at your fucking worst, norovirus. Like, you...
Birth.
Oh, well, I haven't been there yet. But, yeah, like, you're, like flesh, everything. Like,
yeah.
So if he's going to be a fucking pussy about some procedure, like, he's actually doing you a favor and saving you a lot of time. That's but if true. He's great.
It's a good test.
I would
use it as a test.
Yeah.
Test him.
I would tell him of some version of the truth. And if it's going really well, I don't think he'll find it, like, deceptive of you. I think he'll find it, like, cute of you. Like, that you didn't want to, like...
There's nothing deceptive. And it's not like it's a big thing. Like, it's not like something that's, like...
Contagious.
Like, you have hemorrhoids.
Yeah, it's so common. It's like a sinus
when you
infection.
Zoom out from the lens of the Big Bang Theory, you literally can't even see them.
It depends how big the hemorrhoids are. that was your toaster. Thank you to everyone for being particularly vulnerable this week. DearToasters@gmail.com for next Wednesday's show. That is our episodes. This is a very long episode, and I'm glad, because after yesterday's audio, everyone deserves it. So fingers crossed that when we take this SD card out of
We're fine. We're fine.
You never know. Mm. So that's our show.
Our show, no one else's. Even though the Streis brothers are here, it's not their show, it's our show.
We have a great day ahead of us. We're headed to our Spritz meet and greet in Fort Lauderdale, so we're excited to see everyone there tonight, and then we're back tomorrow with another fabulous show.
I think that's it.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you are watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incroyable hump day.
And we'll see. Incroyable.
I'm so French. Incroyable hump day. That's not French.
Day. You need Babbel to figure that out.
100%. And we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Bye.